Welcome back to On the Record Podcast. I'm Emily Zhang.
And I'm Senna Law. This semester, we're doing things a bit differently for our podcast.
We're going to focus on some big questions students have about their experiences at TMU.
From the academic environment at school, to tuition woes, to the safety around Young and Dundas,
to anything you want us to talk about, email us at ontherecordnews@torontomu.ca.
Today, we'll be tackling an ongoing issue for every student in the GTA, housing.
Today's big question is, where do you live and how do you make it work?
And we wanted to hear what you thought, so we started with the poll right outside our newsroom.
Looking at the physical poll results, only 11% of you said yes to being able to afford to live in Toronto, and an overwhelming 89% of you said no.
That checks out. Concerns about housing affordability have been increasing drastically over the past 2 years, according to an August report by Statistics Canada. In spring 2024, nearly 4 in 10 Canadians reported being very concerned with their ability to afford housing or rent. This is because of rising housing prices, and this number is compared with 3 in 10 in the spring of 2022.
Times are tough, and students are at the center of the housing crisis. The OTR team walked around campus to ask students about their living situations.
It is not affordable at all. I've been living here for 2 years. And I've been, thankfully, at a consistent, like, rent of, like, $1,200, but I'm not gonna lie, groceries are expensive, bills are expensive, the water bill, don't even get me started on the water bills I've had, and the electricity bill, oh my gosh, man. Anyways, it's not affordable down here. I'm, like, cost of living is going down slightly, but it's really not enough to really be considered livable, especially at the minimum wage being so low.
I just moved to my new place in the spring in March. I live like just near Riverdale Park, like on the second and third floor of a house. I think like privatized landlords is probably the most affordable way to do it. So I stick to like Face Marketplace, Kijiji, these kinds of places. I think you can go see like really cool apartments that are in like houses and things. Mm-hmm. And if you try to get into like buildings, condos, that sort of thing, I think that's where you hit some like crazy prices.
Well, when I was looking for an apartment or like a house to live in after my first year, the first thing I knew I needed to do was find roommates because I can't afford to live alone down here. Finding roommates and having other people to kind of like brainstorm with and look for places with really helped me.
Yeah, I live in Toronto. I live on Gerard and Jarvis. I make it work because I work while I'm in school, so I'm able to pay rent that way. Super hard to kind of balance everything, so I can't be so like liberal with my money and stuff. I have to save and stuff, so I can't go out whenever I want, things of that sort.
Okay, honestly, I'm living with my mom, so it's like kind of helpful for me, but like after like uni, I feel like it's gonna be difficult because of like the pricing in Toronto, and like that's the only place like I want to leave because that's where the city is for me, right? But I mean, I'm just gonna get a job, save up, and like, and get a building with my best friend. So it's gonna be easier for us to like split the rent and everything. So yeah.
I live in like the east end of Toronto. It's like 40 minutes, which is not a crazy commute. There's people I know that have like double, triple that time. I guess you have to like account for travel time. I think that in terms of making it work, I think that you just have to like kind of find a routine. I know that. Like we spend a lot of time just kind of like around campus and kind of turning that time in between classes where you can't necessarily go back home and to and from, you turn that into like work time or study time and stuff like that. And I think that trying to make the most of like downtime when you can't like go to and back from is kind of like the key, I guess.
Thank you everyone who answered. We got quite a few interesting responses.
Where you live is important. It's where you eat, sleep, study, and spend most of your time. However, finding a roof over your head in a major city like Toronto can be quite a challenge.
As reported in the Rental Market Report, the average market rent for a studio apartment in Toronto is $1,427 and $1,708 for a one-bedroom. Doing the math, that means if you are working full-time, a 40-hour week at minimum wage, your rent would take up more than half of your monthly income. And as students, this is neither feasible nor realistic because you're supposed to be learning, attending classes, and doing assignments. When can that happen?
That's right. As indicated in the 2022 report done by UTAL, Fostering Learning and Awareness on Student Housing Survey, the median monthly rent for student is 25% higher than the median monthly rent for non-student rental households.
We talked with a spokesperson from House Canada, a Canadian nonprofit that works to create affordable housing for post-secondary students. They told us that students today, unlike any previous generation, pay more for rent, tuition, and the cost of living.
My name is Natty. I am the co-executive director of House. I use they, them pronouns. And House itself is an acronym for Housing Our University Students Equitably. We are essentially a nonprofit that helps students research, advocate for, and develop affordable nonprofit and or cooperative housing that's either on campus or 30 minutes from students' campuses. And we do that through a nonprofit development model that means that there's no profit margins as there would be with private or for-profit housing. I think it's important that we consider the context that students are in. There is the massive shortage of housing generally, but especially for students and, you know, young people, whether that's recent graduates or transitioning into the workplace, or, you know, young people that might not have had the opportunity to even go to post-secondary education. So if you're a Toronto student, only 3 out of 200 units are available for you to rent. That's a 1.4% vacancy rate. And that's lower when we compare it to the rest of Ontario, or for example, when we're looking at the capital of Canada, Ottawa, where they have a 2.2% vacancy rate. So we have a really, really competitive market. And that means that landlords know the value of those homes and those assets, and they're able to make those rents a bit higher. New housing isn't being built quickly enough to meet demand. So if we look at like housing starts, you know, you'll notice that, you know, in some areas there's a lot of apartments that are being built, specifically in Toronto Central, which is near a lot of, you know, downtown Toronto campuses. But if we look near York University, for example, in North York, in the Northwest region, there are no new housing starts, right? Which basically means that students are commuting and living in other communities. Ultimately, the story is that there isn't enough supply to meet demand. And the new housing that is being built is often too expensive for more students and young people. The everyday renter that's in you know, Toronto is paying more just to live there. So if you're a student that's starting your, you know, your first year in a bachelor's program, you're probably paying, you know, up to a third more than the student that's graduating right now. And that's because there's only enough beds on university campuses to house 1 in 10 students, which means that most students are renting privately or living with family. You know, the reason we rely so much on this private market is in part because a lot of the public funding programs that exist either exclude students as a category. For example, the National Housing Strategy includes, you know, young adults. Typically, the framing around that is young adults at risk of homelessness and not necessarily students that people tend to consider as, you know, these folks in a really privileged position, despite the fact that the majority, again, 62% of most students earn less than $20,000 per year. And the other piece is that student housing types, right? Like dorm style housing, for example, which would offer the most affordable housing per unit for students, also aren't included under the National Housing Strategy programs. So ultimately, if you're a student in Toronto, you're probably paying 2.5 times to rent than you are for tuition. It's probably the single largest financial barrier for your domestic student. And because of how competitive that market is, the biggest challenge for international students. We're seeing international students who are, you know, sharing an individual unit amongst 2 or 3 people, and a lot of exploitative landlord practices that are kind of interwoven there. So what House has done, and, you know, we're not reinventing the wheel, is we've looked at UTIL, which is the Unité de Travail pour l'Implantation de Logement Étudiant in Quebec. And what UTIL did is, well, they were a group of Concordia students back in 2013. They said, hey, let's organize students, let's put together and raise equity to build housing by and for us. And they did just that. From 2013 to 2019, they built the Wooden Oak Cooperative for Concordia students, and they welcomed students in 2020. Our goal is to take that model and to bring it to English-speaking Canada, starting in Ontario. House is actually owned and operated by students' unions through each of our different chapters. And essentially, we're able to ensure that we have that oversight to make sure that the housing that we buy, that the land that we acquire is always affordable. But we try to think about, you know, our solutions in a holistic way. We want to build housing that impacts local rental markets. And the best way to do that, the best way to improve housing for, you know, low-income families, individuals, and particularly, you know, those folks who might not have had that opportunity to go to post-secondary, is to build enough affordable housing that you actually reduce the cost of rent in the private market. Try to learn as much as you can about, you know, what will be probably one of the single largest costs that you're going to bear as a student, but also after you're a student, right? When you're working, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to your students' unions and to the off-campus resources that are there. As a student, you pay for those things, right? So it's your right. You're very entitled to access those things. And if you're finding that there are gaps there, that's when you can reach out to House.
Thanks to organizations and resources like House Canada, students can be more optimistic about the reality of Toronto's housing situation.
Real estate agents are at the forefront and are the middlemen between you and the keys to your home.
We decided to talk to TMU data science and real estate management professor Murtaza Haider about the trends he has observed in the housing market and how that could be affecting students in the city.
Look at the challenge. The challenge is that we have a university like University of Toronto, Metropolitan University, George Brown College. They're in downtown Toronto. Now, downtown Toronto, it's the second or third most expensive housing market in Canada. Mm-hmm. So rents per square foot basis are very high here, right? So you cannot leave students and assume that they will be able to compete in the main housing market that's the second most expensive housing market. So how do you solve this problem? Well, you solve this problem by having university-sponsored housing. So, for example, when I used to be at McGill and I was a professor there, but I was also the director of the McGill Housing Gardner Hall. And I had, it was Gardner Hall, McConnell Hall, and McDonnell Hall. They were three halls together. We had 750 students in together, and each hall had a professor who lived in them. And those halls were providing subsidized housing to students. And there was a housing plan and there was a food plan, and you would go and you would get it, right? That was a deal. But that was supported by and financed by the university and partially funded by the university, even though students were paying money to it. Okay, so now come to Toronto. We have hardly 1,600 spots at TMU. We have 1,600 TMU spots for housing, for student housing. Maybe it will grow to 2,000, but we have 46,000 students, and bulk of them are undergraduate, and many of them are commuters, but those who don't, they have to live here and compete in the most expensive housing market. So where's the solution? The solution is a partnership between the private sector and the public sector. The private sector builds, runs, and operates those units, and public sector provides funding for the construction, and the university helps in too. The challenge with us, especially universities in Canada, we don't have land. In the U.S., there are land-chartered universities. The government gives them land saying, here's 500 hectares, that's yours, of 200 acres, and build a university. So what they do is they chop off the land and sell it for commercial purposes. UBC did that. UBC, University of British Columbia, had university-endowed lands. They developed it. They developed residences. They did all sorts of things, make profit. So that university's student housing or land-slash-housing agency have given back about $1 billion-plus to the university while building 13,000 beds, probably 15,000 beds, if you include other campuses outside of Vancouver. So where do we go from here? What we have learned, where it works when university, government, and private sector partners up to provide housing. And that housing has to be subsidized housing because students don't earn. They actually are taking themselves out of the labor market. You can't be working right now. You did grade 10 or grade 12 education. You're legally allowed to work, right? But then you've purposefully taken yourself out of the labor market. You're now a student. And during that time, you're vulnerable. You're taking loans. You're being helped by the family. All of that is happening. But then, again, it's not sufficient for you to go and compete and get a $2,200 per month apartment, a one-bedroom apartment. So the solution, government and universities have to chip in. There's no other way around it.
That was great. Housing affordability remains an issue, and students continue to struggle to find a place to live. The City of Toronto plans on tackling the issue with the Academy Housing Strategy to help students access safe and affordable housing.
We decided to talk to Sarah Carosi, a City of Toronto Senior Strategic Policy Consultant who works with the Academy Housing Strategy. Here's what she had to say.
I would say, as a broad context, Toronto is in the midst of facing multiple housing crises, and one of which, as I'm sure many students in the academic community are feeling directly, is a lack of deeply affordable as well as supportive homes. Particularly, this is impacting low-income, marginalized, vulnerable residents, as well as those who are experiencing homelessness. Compounding this, and more recently, is a rapid rise in rents, making it increasingly unaffordable for middle-class earners, key workers, and professionals to live here in our city. And of course, these crises that we're referencing here are driven by a multitude of factors that range from inadequate housing supply, low wages, social assistance rates not keeping pace with rising cost of living, structural inequities, which are disproportionately impacting Indigenous, Black, and other racialized communities. So it's a crisis that's been in the making for quite some time. And of course, the academic community is directly feeling that in a number of ways. The work here at the Housing Secretariat and more broadly at the city, we're looking to address the housing needs across the full housing continuum. So that can range from those who are precariously housed, as we mentioned before, encampments, shelter needs, through to home ownership. And so the solutions that we're looking to put forward address across that continuum. And the work that we're doing right now is driven by a document that you can see online, Housing TO, the Action Plan from 2020 to 2030. And specifically in that, there are 13 key strategic priorities, one of which is the importance of partnership. And building on that, we've done a lot of work to connect in with the academic community to better understand the context that they are encountering and developing relationships. In doing that work, we were hearing directly from the academic partners in terms of the way that these crises are impacting the community directly. And in looking for information regarding this, we noted, as well as the academic community noted, that there's a lack of up-to-date, reliable information regarding the housing needs and the current housing situation for students, staff, and faculty. And so in 2022, the city made a commitment to the development of an academic housing strategy. And this strategy is looking to address the housing needs, housing affordability, precarity, among other items for students, staff, and faculty at the post-secondary institutions here in Toronto. Part of this strategy is looking at creating more depth of understanding regarding the experiences of the academic community. So this information will, in fact, directly serve that request for more data. So all of this information that we're gathering through the engagement will formulate a new set of data that we'll have access to that can directly inform the work, not only here that we're doing at the city for this overarching strategy, but also for each of the institutions and any specific work that wants to be done there. And of course, we're looking to implement and move forward to derive solutions that people can directly experience. So that's a core objective of this strategy.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed learning that we're all in this together.
Yeah, don't feel alone in your lack of housing affordability, TMU. We're all feeling it. Thanks for joining us today and stepping up to the mic. We appreciate you going on the record.
Make sure to listen to next week's podcast, where we will be talking about accessibility on campus. You don't want to miss that.
If you have any questions or want to reach out, email us at ontherecordnews@torontomu.ca. I am Sena Law. Special thanks to Almost Barely for our theme music, Letting Go.
And I'm Emily Zhang. Catch you next week.